Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you'll be able to listen to the show.
I remember I told God, I was eager to do what he told me to in obedience. Looking out in the crowd, I see eyes closed, tears falling, hands lifted, people pray. Praising and worshiping too. They didn't see me, they only saw you. It felt good, but something was missing. See, I'm empty inside.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
I didn't know the price of yes.
Praise the Lord, for I am truly again so very excited about having the Lord in my life. Not just being a believer, but being broken for the Master's use. I bring you greetings of love and peace from Elder and I, from Kingdom Builders Development. It is a season to be broken for the Master's use. I want to welcome you to the broadcast. And I'm so excited about our new format, the things that God is doing in the midst of the storm, the way God is showing up in the midst of the storm, learning how to soar above the storm. I'm excited. And I want to thank you and welcome you to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. Don't you feel blessed? Don't you feel blessed to be a blessing? The enemy want to beat you up from the inside out. And we're going to talk about today what is in you. And winning from the inside, learning how to win from the inside. Because if you don't win from the inside, you're going to lose from the outside. Amen. So I want to encourage everyone to keep growing on the inside. Pick your battles. Pick your battles, because every battle is not yours. Thank you, Jesus. Every battle is not yours. I want you to remember that. Don't let the enemy cue into getting into battles that's not yours. So we're going to talk about today what's inside of you, learning what's inside of you so you can win from the inside. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this hour of power. God, we acknowledge you in all our ways. God, we thank you for prevailing. God, we thank you for winning. We thank you, Father, that you've already chose the end of the story. And at the end, you say, amen. So, Father, I cover those that are on this line, God. I thank you, Father, that there will be a spiritual deposit. I thank you, Father, that our hearts are open to hear. Our minds are empty to receive, God. And I thank you, Father, that you deposit a fresh anointing on those that have ears to hear what you're saying to your church. For we are your church, God, your people called by your name, Lord God. And we ask you in Jesus' name that you would bind up any distractions in Jesus' name, that you will cause anything that's not like you to be depleted in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that the blood still works, and we apply the blood of Jesus over every ear gate. We apply the blood of Jesus over our hearts, and we thank you, Father, that we are much better because we having heard the word of God. Amen, amen, and amen. I just cannot say it enough. I am excited and delighted to be here still in the land of the living, because the mere fact that you woke up this morning, the mere fact that God chose to give us another day, it is telling me that God has work for you and I to do. Amen. How many believe that there's still work to be done? How many believe that everything that's going on, God has allowed it to happen for a reason? Amen. God is allowing things happen, these things to happen, so that we may be able to understand the mission. And when we understand the mission, that we'll have the message to bring in our mission. Amen. 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 I was talking to a group of I'll say believers, amen. We were talking about a revival. We were talking about the people of God being revived. We were talking about how revivals used to, you know, be so imperative in the name of Jesus. And then I made mention to a situation, a revival that had taken course. And it was three pastors, and we were, just discussing the revival. I was merely listening. But after the revival had concluded, three of the pastors was discussing the results with one another. And it was a multi-denominational revival. Praise God. It was a Methodist minister. He said, the revival worked out great for us. He said, we gained four families. And then the Baptist preacher said, we did better than that. We gained six new families. Hallelujah. And then the Pentecostal pastor said, well, we did even better than that. He said, we got rid of our 10 biggest troublemakers. What's inside of you? For him to feel he did better than that, getting rid of the troublemakers, because troublemakers are almost everywhere you go. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that will rule if you let it. So we're going to be talking about the battle within, learning how to win within. And also, we're going to talk about self-control. Amen. Self-control. Elder talked about on last week, talking too much, you know, just talking. I don't know if it's talking to be seen or heard, or is it talking because we have something to say, or just merely talking too much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to get your Bibles out if you'd be so kindly to do so. And as you have your Bible, I am going to ask you, if you'd be so kind, to turn your Bibles to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, we know what Galatians 5 says. We know we're going to be talking about what different, the fruit of the Spirit, the battle within. We talks about how God has the characteristics of God, how we are to be led by the Spirit. How many of us can truly say that we're led by the Spirit? Amen. Verses 18. And the Bible says, but if you are led by the Spirit, hallelujah, you're not under the law. Are you being led by the Spirit? So the flesh are obvious. Let me kind of talk about some of the acts of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity. And we go on and on. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy. Some people just have fits of rage. Self-ambition. You didn't know. Selfish ambition. It's all about you. It's all about my. It's all about I. It's all about us. Dissension. Fractions. Enviness, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit, listen, the kingdom of God. Some people say, I'm grown. I do what I want to do. I live like I want to live. I'm going to die from something. Let me read on. Verse 22 says, hallelujah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here's one of my favorites, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no law against being kind. There's no law against being faithful. And verse 24 says, and those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. It's a battle. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I'm talking about with the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Listen, and the word of God is truly blessed. The word of God is truly blessed. If we apply the word of God to our life, not just learn it, but actually live it. Talk about it and be about it. Amen. Don't be known to your leaders or your pastors or those family members or those that know you as troublemakers or always into something. It's always something going on when you are involved. I want you to imagine if there was an inside of you, okay, I want you to see yourself, and inside of you is a single, I'll say, an evil microscope cell. Microscopic cell, should I say. And it began to just keep on, it multiplies and it spreads. That's how it works. So the cells multiply themselves. And so this evil cell, it keep on multiplying, it keeps spreading inside of us and throughout our entire body. But if it's detected soon enough, imagine, just like cancer, we'll be able to combat it. The condition can be put at a halt. But since there is no apparent pain, because sometimes you may have some symptoms and no pain, nothing abnormal that exists in this deadly disease, you're unaware of the battle that's raging within. So I think it would be fair to me to say that it can go undetected. It will only be a matter of time before your life is taken if it's not detected. So this evening, I want to talk about a battle within, an undetected battle within, winning from within, self-control, learning oneself. Because the Bible says that God wanted, amen, but we understand that the Holy Spirit will not live in an unclean temple. It's a battle that every Christian faces. But one that some seem to feel like they have arrived. But we know in this flesh it's going to always be a battle. There's a cure. But without being aware of the battle, we cannot and we will not even seek a cure. Too many believers we're being defeated in this silent warfare. As our soul is relentlessly being attacked. You know, constantly you're being attacked, and it's a spiritual drain. It drains your vitality. It drains your strength. It drains your drive. It drains your vision. It drains your purpose. It beats up on you, and you don't realize that this is why you're feeling the way you're feeling, because you're being attacked daily from the inside. You know, we on Sunday, we prepared the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. And, you know, when we share the supper, you begin to realize that every single time you prepare communion, you're communing with God, and you get an opportunity to ask God to forgive you. You get an opportunity to make things right, not only with your soul, your spirit, and even your livelihood, your destiny, your spiritual destiny. So the Bible says, as much as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. So since we're being quarantined, and a lot of us are not going out to a physical church, understand that the church is in you, amen? So I want to encourage you, go to Amazon, order your communion, get you some grape juice, get you some unleavened bread, get you some crackers, get you the setup, okay? And then get the scriptures and prepare the Lord's Supper. You think you need a pastor, you feel like, see, the enemy want to beat up on your brain and make you feel like, oh, well, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. Well, the devil is a lie, because there's nowhere that the scripture says that you are not to serve yourself the Lord's Supper. Tradition makes the word of God have no effect. It makes it not effective. So I want you to begin to understand that communion is your relationship with God. It's a private thing where you can get in a place with the Lord, get the Lord's Supper, pray over it, ask the Lord to forgive you, forgive those that have despitefully used you. It's communing with him so that you can win within. Amen. What's in you? Where are the issues that's in you that's causing, let me read James. James talked about it. Chapter 1, verse 21, when James said, he said, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You got the word in you, and the word in you needs to manifest. It needs to come forth. We're not qualified to be a servant. We were chosen. It was not our ability that made us become a messenger of the gospel. It was our availability. If you're willing and obedient, the Bible says that you will eat the good of the land, the good of the land. Amen. So I want to encourage somebody today so that you can understand that it's not about what you want. It's about fulfilling the Lord's plan for your life. So as we prepared the Lord's Supper, I want to make it plain to you, because can you imagine that the blood still worked? So when you began to consume the blood of Jesus, can you imagine all those microscopic cells that's multiplying and spreading your entire body, that's causing evilness to rule, and you're combating that condition because the blood still works? Amen. How many believe the blood still works? The blood still works. There's a cure. But without knowing that you have need of these things, how can it work? Let's make it plain. There is a war going on, not just outside, but the major war is within. Let's talk about it. Enemy, into me. We say, oh, the enemy. No, into me. Into me. The enemy. To find somewhere to live, somewhere to hide. He need a shelter. He need a place of to have, to live, to have his being. Okay, here we go. Let me make this first point. There's a war going on. It's hard to read the Bible and be unaware that there is such a thing as a spiritual conflict for the Christians. So now, when I say this, most of our minds will think of the conflict we have as unbelievers. No, we are all aware that the resistance that we face day to day, that we seek to be salt and we seek to be light in a fallen world. But see, Jesus, he promised us persecution, and the persecution is following him as a representative, but we don't like that, right? So we take it personal. So we get on the defense, we get on the offense, you know, we play a little football, right? We start tackling. Personal. But Jesus already told us that persecution goes with the territory. He said, if you're going to suffer with me, hallelujah, if you want to reign with me, you got to suffer. You got to go through the the motion of the ocean. You got the goals with the up, the down. You got to keep on flowing. You know, you can't sink. Amen. That's John 15:20, where he talks about the persecution. But he also said that he came to bring a sword. Listen, I want you to get this. He came to bring a sword that will separate members of one own household. Okay, turn to Matthew 10:34. Our work is done for us. All we have to do is have self-control and read and study, rightfully divide the word of God, so that we might what? Show ourselves approved as we rightly divide the word. And when we rightly divide the word, God will open up our eyes and our ears so that we may be able to what? Hear, that we may be able to see. Listen what Matthew 10:34 says, and I'm going to read. I will read the King James Version. He says, think not that I have come. What? Shut up. No, he didn't. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. He said, I came not to send peace, but a sword. We didn't know that, did we? Okay, I know you knew. I'm just kidding. I know you knew. Do not think that he came to bring peace on earth. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You know, I remember my father used to come with the belt. Oh, he wasn't coming from me. He was coming from my brothers. Amen. But anyway, listen. I hear you laughing. But as the darkness hate Jesus, that darkness hate you. It hate his followers. So don't try to fit in. Don't try to fit in. It's not healthy for you because you don't fit. That piece of that puzzle don't fit. Amen, amen. In Luke 6:26, the Bible says, woe to you when all men speak well of you. I know we all like for people to say good things about us, give us those accolades and stroke our ego and make us feel it's worth doing it. I'll do it again because they were happy. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. It's part of the territory. There is definitely a conflict from without as we seek to show Jesus through our words and through our action. Don't think it's strange when they come against you. I think we're supposed to rejoice. I heard James say, rejoice. Let me read that the conflict that I'm speaking about is more within. It's more within. It's not the spiritual battle often spoke of with Satan and his demonic forces. See, although we can add this to the fight, amen, but rather it is the battle from the present wickedness that dwells within our own heart. We think we're okay. Okay. I like to substantiate it with the Word of God in James 1. Hallelujah. And we're going to read, I'll read 14 and 15. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Desires have conceived, it give birth to sin. And sin, when it's grown, it give birth to death. Amen. So the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. You're going to get paid for the sins. And the gift of God is eternal life. You're going to get a gift from God, but you're going to get paid for your sins, and God's going to give you a gift of eternal life. Boy, this the Word of God is just good. It's better than camel soup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, in the Bible, it is called the flesh. And the flesh is a remnant of old sin. Our sinful self. I want you to see what's within. Nobody knows better than oneself what's within. What's dwelling within? Is it pain? Is it hurt? Is it unforgiveness? Let's deal with me today. See, through although Christians, we have been recreated with a new heart. Okay, we've been regenerated. Okay, I've been redeemed. I've been bought with a price. And now the ever-present dwelling of the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. What seems to be the problem? See, the flesh is still present. The flesh is still active. The flesh is still alive and destructive. So the first thing we do is we're not accountable. We don't take the blame. We love to blame others. But our greatest enemy in our spiritual walk, it dwells within our own heart and will be there until the day that we enter glory. Out of the, the rivers of living waters. What does that mean to you? The rivers. I want you to take that for your homework. The rivers of living water. Okay, this battle that I'm speaking about in verse 17, hallelujah, I'm still in James, for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So we're going through the motions. We pretend like we don't know what we're doing, but we know exactly what we're doing. It's flesh and spirit fighting all day long. They're opposing one another, the red and the blue. They're opposing one another all day. See, unbelievers do not deal with this struggle. Just the other day, Elder and I, we were at the store, and we had our masks on and our gloves. Amen. Was at the store, and I entered into a conversation with the saleswoman. She actually was not only the salesperson, but she was the owner. And she told me, you know, she began to talk about how much she loved a party, and those parties from the 80s was like off the chain. And she told me that she enjoyed partying. And, you know, and then she kind of said a few words that just kind of like quenched my spirit. And so I mentioned to her that I was a pastor and in ministry. And she told me that, you know, she didn't really like pastors too much. And then I asked her why. She didn't answer. Then when I looked at her and she was looking at me, and she said, I said, what do I look like to you? It's just staring, you know. And she said, well, you look like you like to party. And don't get me wrong, I didn't have no party dress on. I didn't have on none of that. I try to dress modest. But I mentioned to her that I used to go to some parties. I've never been a big partier. But Friday night is just what you do. But I told her that Jesus had changed my life, and that he could change hers too and save her. You see, before we come to Jesus, we are not even aware that there's a battle. We just give into every temptation. You know, you work all week, and Friday come, all you're thinking about is, I ain't got to work tomorrow. You gotta do something. But when Jesus changed your life, you don't look at the Fridays. You don't look at the Saturdays. So I began to think, when the woman was talking, hallelujah, how do the world see you? How do they see you? I hear you all answering at one time. But before we became Christians, for the most part, we only avoid seeing in fear of the consequence. You know, we do the right thing because you don't want to get in trouble. You don't break the law. You don't speed because you don't want a ticket. And it's certain things you just don't do. You know, cheating could result in a lower grade. Premarital sex could result in disease. You know, adultery could result in divorce. I'll say drunk driving, you can get a ticket. There, that's a small, battle that we really just do out of consciousness. But when we are saved and everything changes, the Holy Spirit, it takes up a full resident in our life. And then we begin to become more Christ-like. You know, our eyes become open, and then what do we enjoy? We enjoy reading the Bible, understanding the Bible, and our whole days and our whole evenings change from looking for a party on a Friday to having a prayer, a constant prayer event every Friday. Things change. Your interests change. You know, what you watch on TV change. Your desires change. It just happens. It's nothing you do. It's just something that you want to do. You want to know more. The Bible is affirmed in your spirit. God began to show you things. You begin to see things in the spirit. You begin to know things in the spirit. You begin to know what's going to be in the morning's paper. I'm telling you, God can change our life. But we have to realize that the battle is within. Amen. So I talked about the battle within, and I have a whole lot of notes, but I'm not going to go through all my notes. Now I'm going to talk about how to deal with it. So as I was in prayer, What came in my spirit is self-control. Control. You have to put self under control because the enemy is in me. Amen. So I depicted self-control. And that's what we're going to talk about. Winning the battle within with self-control. We're not reactionaries. Amen? Okay. I hope we're not reactionaries. Now, while you meditate on that, I'm going to just play just a portion of a song that really, really get me tapped in. So I'm going to share it with you. I don't know if you all would like it, but I like it. Play just a segment of it.
Israel, Israel, I dwell within your walls. Israel, Israel, I will return to thee. Israel, Israel, I will be your God. Israel, Israel, I remember your sins no more. This is what Adonai says, who gives the sun as light for the day, who ordained the Lord for the moon and the stars to provide light for the night, who stirs up the seas until its waves roar. Adonai Sevaoth is his name.
His name, Ananiah. Glory to God. You know, we got everyone has a different taste, a different desire for music. And that song, talking about Ananiah, how he will comfort thee and work for thee and win. If you listen to the lyrics, it's such an encouraging song. But let's get back to self-control. Self-control is probably the easiest, far as I feel, in the list of the fruit of the Spirit to define. So self-control is the ability to control oneself, and I'm going to add on to it, when the Holy Spirit is living in you. It's the ability to restrain from talking too much. It's the ability to subdue the enemy when he tried to be activated in you, through you, properly direct our desires or our passion. See, now, if you know you're an alcoholic, don't start going to the bar and say, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink because I got self-control. You know, if you know that you don't know how to refrain from sexual immorality, you know, don't be around a bunch of women with short dresses on, or don't be around men that you might be attracted to men with suits, or you might be attracted to men in uniforms. Don't subject yourself to that. The Bible says resist. Resist. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that everything that God has put on this planet for us to do is in the Word of God. So self-control isn't merely knowing what you should or shouldn't do, but most of us generally speak of having a fairly good idea of what we should or shouldn't do because, you know, we know everything. Amen. Teach me. I'm still learning. But yet, we still do what we shouldn't do, and what we should do, we don't do. So the problem isn't that we don't know what to do or not to do, but we need the strength to do what we know we should do, that we need to the strength to resist. We need the strength to be structured. We need the strength to complete our tasks that we know we should be doing. So what we know we should do, we don't do. We need self-control. Why? Why do we need self-control? Because self-control will help you in that meditative moment to hear what the voice of the Lord is instructing you to do. Where do we need self-control? Within. How do we need self-control? How do we need self-control? We need it throughout the course of the day. Because your flesh, our flesh, produce sinful desires. So in looking into the fruit of the Spirit, we have often looked at the attributes as we see it in God. The fruit of the Spirit. Are we modeling the fruit of the Spirit after seeing or receiving salvation? Or do we look at God's love and we talk about God's love, but we don't manifest the fruit of the Spirit? You know, you got to have love. You got to have forgiveness. All of this is called love. All of the kindness, the goodness, the patience, the faithfulness, gentleness, and how we ought to be kind and good and patient and gentle with one another. It's all love. But we can't quite do that with self-control. Because God needs no self-control, because he's in control. Because God has no disorder. He don't misdirect us. He doesn't have sinful desires. God does whatever he wants, and it's always good. It's always right. It's always true. It's always glorious. It's always worthy of his worship. So let's talk about this self-control. You know, if God is in us, you would think that we have more self-control. See, everything we desire, if we had no self-control, we'll just got a measure, just like a measure of faith. You got some self-control. Just say they out there fighting, you know, and it's not your battle, but you know some of the people in it. You're not going to just run out there and jump in it. What are you going to do? You're going to call the police. So you got a little self-control, and you got a little sense, hey, man, you're going to pick your battles when it comes to your safety and when it comes to your family safety. But what I'm trying to present to you, get your thoughts under control. How do you get your thoughts under control? When you get your thoughts under control, then the activation of self-control is in play. So something happened I don't like. Do I respond or do I ask God? Do you talk to God? Now, you might talk to him, but are we listening? Do we hear him? You know, sometimes when we don't control ourselves, we make decisions that's not of God. Sometimes we think, I need to help this person. And they might be living any kind of way. So you say, well, it's just the right thing to do. But it might just be God trying to develop that person. And we're all in the way. We're all in the way. But human nature, and I was going to talk about the doctrine of man, but the four stages of human nature throughout the history of redemption, and I'm just going to give you those four. One of the stages, able to sin and able not to sin. And then the second one, not able to not sin. And then the third one, able to not sin And the fourth one, not able to sin. I'm going to just kind of expound just a little bit on able to sin and able not to sin. The pre-fall of humanity was able to sin and able to not sin. And I'm giving you an example. Good with freedom to choose to obey God or disobey God. That's the pre-fall of humanity. And then the post-fall, unredeemed humanity was not able to not sin, to please God. It can do outward good things, but not the right thing with the right motive. I'll say with the right manner, the right goals, or the love for God according to his word or for his glory. Sometimes we do things because it's the right thing to do, but it might not be what God would have us to do. Amen. And then the third, able to not sin, is the post-fall. Another post-fall, a redeemed humanity is able to not sin. So sin is still present in every part of our life, but we have to be able to recognize, is this what God wants us to do? So no longer are we totally unable to please God in our flesh, but we can get to a point where we don't know what to do to turn from sin or what to do that's the right thing to do. And we'll choose, I'll say we can be disobedient and not even know it because we think we're doing the right thing. Now, I don't want to get you where you not understanding, but we glorify humanity. Sometimes we say, oh, man, he really did preach or she really did preach. And then that person just might be living any kind of way, but the word doesn't change. What they presented to you was right. But then when you see the human side of them, do you actually receive what they're saying because they're not living it? So we don't glorify humanity. We glorify the word of God. You know, because I don't know, it does something to me when I hear, oh, didn't that flesh preach? God ministered through that person. So it's more so about the word of God, not the person that brought the word. So what happens is it become a disorder. So now we put the person before the message, and we're looking for the person not to fail us, but we miss the mark because now we're looking at the person and not looking at the message. Amen. And I'm bringing all this to you so that we can understand that sometimes we don't have the self-control to understand that it's not the messenger, but it's the message. So I want you to get the message. I want to urge you, beloved, that you would ask God to give you the message and that the message would permeate your heart. That self-control will set for the master's use. So in the course of your day, when you rise up early, that you begin to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then if you got a vision, begin to write it down. Stay on course. Get yourself under control because every single day should be productive. Because the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and they that dwell therein. So we belong to God and everything belongs to God. And since everything belongs to God, we should not have any lack, whether it's on the inside or out. It should always be a peace. It should always be a place that we desire the will of God in our life. So from the inside out, let the inside of you permeate to the outside. So if there's anything that's not like God, take the time, look in the mirror, and ask God to show you. Help me. So when I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable is my reasonable service. We're not doing anything so special. I can go on and on. But James 1:21 says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, then the Bible says, and humbly accept the word that's planted in you. The word of God is planted in you. And when the word of God is planted in you, that microscopic cell of evilness, it can't live. It has to go. It has to go. So you will be able to identify it when it began to manifest in you. Winning from the inside. You win from the inside so that when you come into a room, God is there. When you come into a situation, God manifests. You are a thermometer. You control the atmosphere. Because you are God in the earth realm. So we're not on what we need to be doing. Because we understand that it's all about the sun's manifesting. Manifesting. The earth is travailing. The earth is in transition. The sons of God are manifesting. See, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not male or female. We're spirits. We're spiritual beings. I want you to get it. God want to use you. Not because it's you. It's because he has created you in his own image and his own likeness. He created you. He created you for his use. So it's not an option. Well, I don't know if I'm gonna serve God. I don't know if I can do that. Send me, I'll go. Isaiah talked about it. When God showed himself in his glory. Remember when King Uzziah died and the train filled the temple and the angels was on the side of him with fire? He let Isaiah see him in his glory. And then he said, I'm among men with unclean lips. He said, woe is me. It's me that's not carrying the message. It's me that's not completing the task. Take it personal. Isaiah took it personal. I want you to take it personal. Run this race to finish the course. Run this race to do what God called you to do. Yes, it's okay if you fail. Get back up. Be around people that celebrate you, people that appreciate you. So they can be spiritual coaches in your life. They say, yeah, you missed it, girl, but get back up. You can do it. Give a helping hand to others in ministry. Sow into their life so that they can win from the inside. Encourage men and women of the gospel. Encourage those that don't know their place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I get so excited, and I understand that this COVID-19 situation, what God has allowed is so that he can put us in a place where we understand that there's a great need for us to be in place, that the kingdom of God is at hand. God is clearing the land. God is clearing the land. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. I want to thank you for your eagerness, your appetite for the things of the kingdom. I want to encourage you to sow where you're going, to sow where you're going, whether it's financial sowing, whether it's time sowing, whether it's whatever way that you can sow, we want to encourage you, sow into the things of the kingdom. And you can be a blessing to us by going to www.giveify.com. So every dime go back into someone else. Amen. That's GIVELIFY. You can look up Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters, which is the intercessors branch of the ministry, where we're praying for all our listeners to manifest I say manifest the gift of God inside of you. Win from the inside. You don't have to struggle with the pain and hurting. Deal with the inside so that when you come, the outside is better. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Another broadcast. And I want to thank Minister Sharia. She's coming forth to, she'll be making announcements on the broadcasts, and she will be definitely introducing our new broadcast. We have one coming up on Fridays. We have another one on Saturdays. We're going to do an open forum on some Sundays. So I want to encourage you in the things of the kingdom. Grow. Plant your seed into good grounds so that when you wake up in the morning, every time God grace you to see another day, you completed the task of yesterday. Don't be a procrastinator. And if you are, it's okay. Tomorrow's a new day. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Amen. 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 Well, I want to tell you we love you. We love you from the inside out and the outside in. Elder and I want to wish God best on you and your life, and that as you celebrate, that you stay protected. You stay protected. We know what we're going through, and we want to encourage you to give someone something this holiday season. You know, furnish a Thanksgiving dinner. You know, just call somebody up and say, I'm going to do your Thanksgiving for you. So give, and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. Well, I'm going to close out with a word of prayer. And I just thank God for each and every one of you, that the angels are protecting your household with swords of fire in their hand, that the enemy will not come nigh them. I just thank God. God just gave me a reminder. I want to share this with you before we hang up the line. My mother had a big tree in the back of her house. And this tree, we talked about this tree had to come down because the branches were starting to fall. And we talked about that we got to get this tree out her backyard, huge tree. God is so faithful. God is so good. On Sunday when we was having service, right before service started, guess what? The tree fell. The tree could have fell right into her house. But God, it was a high wind. And guess what God did? He blew that wind, and the tree fell backwards behind her house. Did not a light go out? Telephone didn't go out? Nothing went out. Tree fell. We took pictures, and we went on with service. What God won't do can't be done. So I want to encourage you, stay in faith, speak faith, speak faith, speak faith. Win from the inside. Amen, amen. God bless everyone. Father, we thank you for this time. God, we ask you that you will manifest in the hearts of your people, that you will cause every listener, Lord God, to know your will for their life. God, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will cause everyone to bring someone to the line. And if they know someone that has the gift, that they would bring them and we would sponsor a program for them, God, because we know that it's all about the kingdom. So I ask you in Jesus' name to keep us safe, to keep our minds sound, and that we would win from the inside because of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Amen, amen, and hallelujah. Breathe on us, Father. Fresh fire. I want to say God bless everyone. We love you. We love you. We love you. God bless you. Have a blessed rest of the evening. And I'm just going to play one more song in closing. We ask God to breathe a fresh anointing on our listeners. God bless you and have a good night.